I said that Allie and him were supposed to play this evening, and I need to let her know that he's not going to be available to play tonight. Amen. And I told him, now I tried. I said, you know, Allie's going to understand you're not there, so that means that you're not going to be playing. And he's like, Dad, you need to tell her. So I told her, amen. And I don't know, maybe he's saying that, well, she is a weaver and she's not going to understand that right off the bat, amen. But, you know, I'm thankful and thankful for the friendship. It was fun this afternoon. We were watching Tara and Allie, and Jeremiah was playing with the babies. And it was just, you know, I'm thankful for children that can come to the house of God and be together. Amen. We live in a time of fussing and fighting, and I'm thankful that children, they have a love for one another. And I know Jeremiah always looks forward to coming and seeing everyone and being able to play or talk or Lizzie's stories when they get here early, so we get to hear Lizzie's stories before service. Amen. And it's a blessing to see children in the house of God. Amen. All right, if you would, take your Bibles. Let's come back over to Mark chapter number 11. Mark 11. Now, while we're getting there, I do ask you to continue to promote the website. Remember what I said was going to happen? We're down to 157. Amen. Now, I know you're going, preacher, you know, we can promote it, but listen, if they're upset because I preach the Bible, then we're going to lose more. Amen. But, you know, nonetheless, let others know. There are still some out there that want the truth. Amen. And let them know. Continue to promote the website or the YouTube page. We need 1,000 subscribers. And, you know, I don't mean to sound mean about it, but if you get offended at what's preached, then who are you really mad at? Amen? Who are you really mad at? And I don't care. You can call it an opinion, whatever. When I give it to you in the Bible, it's your decision which you take. Amen? Mark chapter number 11. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter number 11. Verse number 1, and when they came nigh to Jerusalem unto Bethphage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two. Now this is our theme for the night. He sendeth forth two. And I know I'd preached this close to it. I don't know. I didn't go back and look at my notes. I don't like to do that. I didn't just go and freshen up a sermon. Amen. I let God speak to me, and if some of the things are the same, that's fine. If some of them aren't, that's fine too. But this is our thought for the night, that he sendeth forth two of his disciples. Look at verse number 2, and he saith unto them, go your way into the village over against you, as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. Verse 4, and they went their way, and found the colt tied by the door without, and in a place where two ways met, and they loose him. Verse 5, and certain of them that stood there said unto them, what do ye, loosing the colt? And they said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded, and they went, they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus, and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees, and strawed them in the way. And they that went before, and they that followed, cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple, and when he had looked round about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you. Father, I thank you for the day that you've given us, Lord, the sweet fellowship, the time that we had to meet with you this morning. Lord, the services, and Father, just how you had your way. And Lord, thankful for the testimony of some that made decisions, Lord, this morning. And then, Lord, I pray as well that you would be with my wife tonight as she's not feeling well. I pray that you would touch her and encourage her, Lord. I pray, Father, for us as we're here tonight to hear from you. I pray, Lord, that you would just speak to our hearts. I pray that you would direct my lips, Lord. I know I make light of the YouTube and folks unsubscribing off of it, but Lord, truth is we've pick and choose what in your word we like. And Lord, I pray that you would help us, Father. Lord, I do pray you'd guard my mouth, Father, that I wouldn't come off arrogant, I wouldn't come off rude, but instead, Lord, I would come and with such compassion, Lord, and such spirit, Father, that it would shine for you. And Lord, I pray as well that you would just help us tonight as we see these two disciples that are sent out, Lord, the work that they're doing, the will that they have. And Lord, I pray that your will would be done. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We look here at this passage of Scripture, and you know, I can't help but think or wonder even at times why Jesus would even use us. Why would he not use, why would God not have used the angels as I think of that night when Jesus was born with the shepherds, and boy, the angels had appeared and they had such encouragement for those shepherds, and they were just so excited that the shepherds would know that there was a Savior that had been born that night. And, you know, I look and I just find such flaw with us, and the I hate to say it as the ups and downs, but we get so sidetracked, and you know, we're going through life, and boy, we can leave out of here on a Sunday night and say, you know, I can't wait to do the will of the Lord for the rest of the week. And by the time we get out of the parking lot, what were we talking about? And just the distractions of life, just the things that come up. And I'm not even saying that we're just blatantly turning our back on the Lord, but how often? And yet God still uses us. It amazes me. I can't help but think, as the Apostle Paul had said there in 1 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 12, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, that who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. I think of how God has given us in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse number 7. The Bible says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. He's speaking about the Holy Spirit that's within us. And it's just this earthen vessel. I'm nothing but a cracked pot. Boy, we've got so many flaws. We could say that we're a broken potsherd. We're just broken pieces. And yet God has filled us with His Spirit to empower us. The Apostle Paul there in 1 Timothy 1 that I just gave you, he said that it was God that's enabled him. And yet God still does it time and time and time again. There wasn't a single one of the apostles, wasn't a single one of the disciples that were really worthy of being used. And yet, God used them. And so, John chapter number 20 and verse number 21, and then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. You know, so often we look and we'd say, well, I'm not Peter, John, or James, or Andrew. I'm not any of these, nor capable, nor have this knowledge, or have this ability, or any of these things. What two disciples did he send? The Bible doesn't tell us which two. It's very, very possible that this isn't two out of the 12. It's very possible that this isn't even two out of the 70. The Bible tells us that he had disciples besides those of the numbers that he had sent out to preach, and those that he had. May I remind you now? Let me remind you this: in order to be a Christian, you got to first be a disciple. Amen. Well, that's what we find in Antioch. The disciples were called Christians. Why? And it's not speaking about Barnabas and Paul. No, it's speaking about those that were sitting under them. And they had this Christ-likeness because, first of all, they had to learn of Christ before they could ever be like Christ. And so, I look at these two disciples and I wonder why God didn't give us their identification. May I tell you, as soon as we have identification, we begin to exclude ourselves. we begin to say that this couldn't have been me. None of us are an Apostle Paul. Let's just think of some of those in the Old Testament. Think about Abraham. How many times are we willing to step out and leave everything and go to nowhere that we know and take our family with us? And boy, why are you going? Well, because God said so. Who's God? He came out of a leg of paganism, or land of paganism. And we could look at Noah. He's building an ark. And we'd say, well, preacher, you know, I could never. And boy, I'm not a Noah, or I'm not a Paul, or I'm not a Peter, or John. I don't know who wants to sign up to get boiled in oil. I'm not a John. And so we begin to exclude ourselves. But tonight, we find two disciples that we don't even have a clue who they are. And may I tell you, as much as Jesus or God did that so that we couldn't say it's not us, it really doesn't matter about which two disciples it was. It's about the work that they were doing. You see, it's not just the matter. May I tell you that these two disciples, as much as we know that there was two disciples that was sent, they completed the work that was at hand. They did everything that God had desired for them to do. And boy, I'm thankful for their faithfulness. But who are you going to pat on the back? You know what I find as well today? We want that pat on the back. Hey, we're quick to tell someone about what we've done for the Lord and boy, how we've done this and we've done that and boy, we've got this resume. But these two disciples can't say that. Which two? We don't know. And so I'm thankful that He sent forth two. But we've seen there in John chapter number 20 and verse 21 that He sends forth you. And so let's look at this. I find, first of all, the walk of the disciples. The walk of the disciples. Well, where were they? They were following. They were following. You know one thing that can be said about these two disciples? They were close enough that they could hear when God spoke to them. Amen. You say, well, preacher, he obviously had to go up to them and grab a hold of them. No, the Bible just said He sent forth two. He could have even just had it to where He just told them, hey, there's a donkey over here that I want you to go get. The smallest and the stillest of voices He could have used to speak to them. Why was that? Well, they were with Him. I find a whole lot of people today that say that they're a disciple of Christ and they're not with Him. You ever notice that the disciples were always with Him? In fact, it was odd, especially if we count the 12. It was odd to them when He didn't go. I remember there after He had fed the 5,000 and He had went up on the mount to pray. And remember He had bid them to go across the Sea of Galilee. And they didn't understand, well, why aren't you going? And now He's walking on the water to them. They thought it was odd, although they followed and they continued to go. But they were supposed to be with Him. Why? They were His disciples. Guess where John's disciples were? John the Baptist had disciples. Guess where they were? With Him. Amen. You know, it's amazing to me at how many people want to profess to be one of His, but all He had to do was tell them to go because they were already there. I wonder if we're really following Him tonight. You say, well, preacher, we're here to Sunday night. We had already, you already let me preach to you this morning, and you know, we're in that place where God wants us to be tonight, so obviously we're following Him. There can be things in your life right now that you say no to and you're not following Him. Amen. You can be sitting in a pew and not be where God wants you to be. I'm not talking about God wouldn't want you to be in church because He does. But amen. Don't use that and say, well, the preacher said we don't need to come to church anymore. That's not what I'm saying. But in your heart of hearts, you can be sitting in a pew hardened and not following the Lord. And so I look here that they were in the place where Jesus could speak to them. I find as well that they were faithful. When we think about their walk, they had a faithful walk. And what did they do? Do you think they understood what they were doing when they went? I mean, Jesus tells them to go, and we'll get into this in just a few moments, but Jesus tells them to go, get someone else's donkey, not just the colt, but get the mama. And He has need of them. We've seen that in Matthew 21 today. So they bring both back. Now, I don't know what it was in Bible days, Brother Scooter, but that could have been due a hanging. Amen. That was a crime. They were stealing someone's donkeys. Now you say, preacher, Jesus just told them to steal. No, he already had everything lined up. Amen. But what did they think? Okay, I'm going to go get these two, and man, I'm going to get it. I hope maybe they won't recognize me. Amen. Maybe they won't have a dash cam. Maybe they won't have their cell phone. Amen. So they can't get my picture stealing these two donkeys. And yet I find that they're faithful all the way. And you know what I find today? Is we want God to explain everything to us before we ever get there in order to go. Why were they so faithful? They just went. They said, all right, this is the direction he wants me to go. Now hold on, they were following him. What did they follow once he sent them? What he told them. And they were faithful to it. They were faithful in following his word to do the work that he had set before them. There's a message in that. Amen. There's a time in our life where it doesn't matter what we know, as long as we know that that is what he's desiring in our life, we follow even when we don't understand. There's some things that we've done in life to make sure that we're in the cushion of life that we're comfortable in. Amen. God ever call you out of that comfort zone? I'm afraid we live in a time where we don't really get out of a comfort zone and have to live by faith. Amen. Now, I'm not talking about that you need to get rid of your feather pillow or your feather mattress. Amen. But it may be the point that God's going to bring us to the fact where we're just going to have to rely on faith to be faithful. Amen. Why are we faithful tonight? Well, because we're supposed to be. It didn't really cost anyone anything. And you say, well, preacher, I had gas. If you didn't spend it coming to church, you would have spent it going somewhere else. Amen. I'm not trying to be ugly. But faithfulness costs. They had no clue that everything was going to go exactly the way that he said, but the fact is that they trusted him, and so they were faithful in it. And so I find the worry of the disciples. I look here at the worry of the disciples, and the Bible tells us here that they're going off, and I want us to look back at verse number 2 and 3. And Jesus tells them to go your way into the village over against you, and by the way, notice this, he says, go your way. You could go back to point number 1 in the walk. How did they go? Their way. What was their way following him? They went in the way that he had told them, but that they had went in the way that he had taught them. And they had learned from that, and they went and they came. And by the way, the only way that you can please God and go in his way is by faith. And as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. Notice in verse 3, if any man, Jesus already knew that someone was going to question. And he said, I've already got you the answer. He said, if any man say unto you, why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And so I look here and I find the worry of the disciples. First of all, they overcame by faith. Well, how did they leave? How did they go to this place? They had never been there. From what we know in Scripture, Jesus had not been there in this little passage here. He sent them ahead to come get this colt and this mama and bring them to. Now, I don't know what village they were from. I don't know if they knew the area. But I know that Jesus had given them that instruction. They didn't even know that the colt was going to be tied there. Christ did. And so they left in faith. But they continued in faith. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I like to have some side plans. I'm just kind of one of those, you know, if one thing fails, I'm going to try something else. Amen. And even in troubleshooting, if I've got something broke, I'm going to troubleshoot the entire system, and I'm going to find if it's just one little thing out of place, I'm going to troubleshoot it until I can dissect it down to that one little place. How did they overcome? They didn't have a what if. They didn't have a get out of jail free card. They didn't have they went all the way on faith, and they came all the way back on faith. They didn't take off running. Amen. Jonathan used to tell us of times when someone would go into Sam's. And Sam's had a 100% return policy. You can take anything back to Sam's that you get from a Sam's, and they'll take it, no questions asked. And this one gentleman had taken a flatbed cart in there, and he had got him a big screen TV and took it over to the return. And it didn't have a receipt, wasn't on his Sam's card. And they said, "Sir, I'm sorry, we can't take it back." And so they helped him take it out to his car and load it up. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean?" Well, there's people that have it all figured out. But when you go by faith, you're not relying on what you know or what you can get away with. You're relying on the word that he gave you. It was his word. And he said, "If any man..." Why did he say, "If any man"? It wasn't a hypothetical, "If any man." He already knew that someone was going to stop him. And he said, "This is what you're going to say. And they're going to let you..." Now, hold on. I don't know anyone that really has a lot of livestock. But if I was to come up here, and I guess Harley's grandpa has quite a few cattle, but if I was to come up here and I really feel that God told me to go up and you take one of Mr. Jack's cows and you lead it down the road, and Mr. Jack's going to come out and see me. And Mr. Jack might even go, "What are you doing?" And in my heart of hearts, if I told him and I felt that the Lord was really speaking to me and said, "Mr. Jack, God has need of him," I don't see Mr. Jack going, "Okay, go ahead. Amen." I just don't see that. And you say, "Well, preacher, because that's not in the days of Christ." That wasn't the norm. And yet they went. And I know we've heard the account and we go, "Well, they went that way and they had no problem with it because that's what Jesus said." May I tell you, Jesus says a lot that people don't listen to. Amen. And yet I find that their worry was overcame by faith. I look as well and I... Take your Bibles while we're on that thought. Hold your place now in the book of Mark. And I want you to look at 1 John chapter number 2. 1 John chapter number 2. They hadn't even seen the place where the donkeys were tied. They hadn't even seen the prize that was tied up. They just knew that he said to go. In 1 John chapter number 2, I want you to look at verse number 13. In 1 John chapter 2, verse number 13. In 1 John 2 and verse number 13, he says, "I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one." Aren't you glad that we've overcome by faith? Amen. In 1 John chapter number 4, and verse number 4 cannot be overlooked as well. We find here the Bible tells us that ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I don't care what's going on today. We can still overcome it by faith. I look as well. I find that they overcame by the word. What did they have to go on? The word of God. That's it. They went on the fact that Jesus said. May I tell you what still works today? "Thus saith the Lord." Now, I brought it up this morning, and I don't know how many had caught it. We don't know what two disciples it was. But I know of an account where two disciples were leaving Jerusalem after the resurrection of Christ. And we know that they were on their way to Emmaus. I'm not telling you it was the same, but I'm also not telling you it's not. Because I'd like to remind you that these are the two that had went, and they had went and got a colt, and they set him up, and they're talking about the kingdom. And then in Luke chapter number 24, they said that we thought he was the one that was going to redeem Israel. Thought he was going to be the king, and he was going to establish the kingdom. And now he's been crucified, and it's been 3 days. And then the women have reported that his body's not even there, and they say that he's risen. And do you not know what's going on? And you remember what he did? When he talked to them, he began on that trip to Emmaus to expound on the Word of God. You know how we're going to overcome today? Because thus saith the Lord is still applicable. Thus saith the Lord still has power. When God said it, listen, he's not capable of lying. And yet, all we know is a bunch of lies today from people. Aren't you glad that we live in a time where we can overcome by the Word of God? That the Word of God is still powerful. It's still sharper than any two-edged sword. It still divides exactly where it needs. You know, I think of how often, Brother Richard, I'm notorious for it. I can cut someone's ear off with it. But the Word of God is actually designed to be a scalpel and do the finest and most detailed. No laser technology surgery can reach in the areas that the Word of God can. How did they overcome the Word of God? But yet, we say we believe it, but we don't usually know it. What did they go on? They went to the place. They even told him exactly what he said. When those questioned him, when those had said, "Hey, where are you going? What mean you to loose these donkeys? What are you doing?" I can hear them. Now, I don't know that they were that nice. Brother Scooter, I know that if someone comes up and I don't care, Jacob, they're trying to steal the dog. What am I going to do? Just go, "Hey, excuse me. I don't mean to make you uncomfortable, but what do you..." No! I'm going to stop them. Amen. I can just see it now. There's some people coming over to them. And if they were all gathered around, did you notice that? It wasn't just one. It wasn't just one that was right there that seen them. No, there were several that was right there. Don't you think that him and his buddies had came over? Because here's these two hoodlums loosening up a donkey that's mine. It's not theirs. Amen. They wasn't carrying, by the way. They didn't have a concealed carry. Oh, but they did. They had the Word of God in their heart. Amen. And so, what did they give them? They just told them exactly what Jesus said to tell them. You know what they believed? That exactly the way that Jesus said it still matters. Amen. Look back at the text. Look on down in Mark chapter number 11. Notice verse number 6. Actually, look at verse 5. And it says, "And certain of them that stood there said unto them..." So it wasn't just one. "What do ye loosing the colt?" And they said unto them, "Even as the Lord had commanded." They didn't miss a thing. They said it exactly. Why? Because they overcome by the Word. How many times we dissect it to apply what we want. But they used all of it. It'd do us good today to remember that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. All of it's profitable. Amen. All of it's to be applied. And so I look as well, I find the work of the disciples. I find that they were surrendered to lead. I want to chase a rabbit, if you'd let me. As I was reading this morning in church here today, God kind of began to speak to my heart. I want you to look at verse number 4. I showed you this morning that they were at the place where two ways met, but I want you to see where they were tied. The Bible tells us in verse number 4, "And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door." What's so important about the colt being tied by the door? I look here at these two disciples, and the work of the disciples were they were surrendered to lead. Now, take your Bibles, turn over to the book of John, chapter number 10. In John, chapter number 10. They were on their way to the Lamb that was the King that had already redeemed. The Lamb had already redeemed the donkey. But yet, we find him by the door. Well, why is it so important that they're leading this donkey to the King? Because this donkey needed to understand some things about where he had been tied. In John chapter number 10, look at verse number 9. "I am the door." I like that. I like that. You say, "Preacher, I just don't get it." Well, notice this. "By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." You see, I like the fact that I know the world has it and Satan wants everyone to believe just the same as he did. By the way, Satan has no new tricks. He did the very same thing to old Eve and Adam. and told them to focus on one little tree that they shouldn't partake in, because God had blessed them with all of this and he kept this one tree from you. What an awful God he is. But yet what he was doing was protecting them and providing them exactly what they needed. And yet they said that it wasn't enough. And so today, modern Christianity, if I can use it in such a term, has taught the idea that, boy, living for the Lord and trying to live up according to that Bible, oh, it's not any fun. It's confining, it's constricting. That old King James Bible, I suppose that church does nothing but sing contemporary or traditional music. They need to get some life in it. Boy, praise God, the reason that those songs don't have any life isn't because of the words of the song. It's not even because of the music of the song. It's because of the hearts of the ones singing it. Amen. And so I look and I find here that the Bible tells us that we need to be taught that we can go in and out. Amen. You say, preacher, you mean I can walk and I can come out? No, hold on a second. There's never a time that he's not with us. Amen. I'm in his pasture, but I sure am enjoying it. Aren't you glad that he has sheep? Dumb sheep. I might not be talking about you, but someone in this room. We forget that we just get to enjoy him, that we can come in and out. And I'm not talking about going out into the world, but he's not constricting. He's comforting. It's not a drag to live for the Lord. It's a joy. And the world has confused it. But these disciples said, you know what? I'm surrendered to lead all the way to the Lord. This donkey was already tied to a place. He was tied by the door. I seen that this morning. I said, boy, what a catch right there. You know how many people are saved and they've never enjoyed the fellowship of being at the door with Christ? Oh, sure, they've came in and they've been saved, but they think that he's constricting. Amen. They don't know the victory. They don't know the joy. They say, boy, you've just been robbed of all the things of this world that are fun. No, I just don't have to have the pain of all the things that the world says is fun that ends up empty. You see, God's brought us to that place. And I look at these two disciples and they were willing. It didn't matter the animal that they were working with. They did not stop until they brought that donkey all the way to Christ. I'm reminded of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 1. He said, be ye followers of me even as I also am of Christ. They were surrendered to lead. It didn't matter. They didn't have a big congregation following them, did they? Nope, they just had a donkey and his mom. That's it. And they said, I'm going to lead all the way to the Lord. I find as well that they were surrendered to lead, but I find that they were sacrificed in love. Did you catch what they did? They took their coats and put them on. Now, I really am not the best of examples to talk about, you know, I'm going to take my suit coat. Now, this one I actually did buy from a store that was not secondhand. Amen. But it was really discounted. Amen. And, you know, they took what they had and they put it on that donkey. Did they ever get those coats back? It's very possible they would have been completely used up. Amen. Today we've got an idea that we'll sacrifice, but we'll only go to where it hurts a little. We'll sacrifice, and listen, I know we've got a missions program, a Faith Promise missions program that God has just really stepped in and moved, and we've got some things going on, and I get it. But they cast their garments, and they spent their time and their energy, and they were not willing to give more than all or less than all. It's okay. You can't give any more than what you have. But so many times we give a whole lot less. I'm reminded, take your Bible, turn over to the book of 2 Corinthians. I'm reminded of the churches of Macedonia in the book of 2 Corinthians. In chapter number 8. And I just want to remind you of this. I don't know what was going on, but I can tell you that they were following the one that was going to make them not have a job, was going to make them to not have a family, was going to make them to where they were an outcast within their own community. If people were going to walk across the road, I mean, you could just understand in the picture of the Good Samaritan. And that Good Samaritan was willing to help the Jewish man. And may I tell you, the Good Samaritan didn't like the Jews. And that Jewish man, if he could have spoke, would have cursed that Samaritan. But what was the difference? Christ. Christ. It doesn't matter. You know, it drives me crazy in our society today that we look at skin colors and demographics, where someone came from. And I am one of them that if I fill out an application and there's a block for other, I put other. I'm an other. You say, preacher, you are a white man. What does it matter? It's amazing to me they don't have a block there for American. That's what they really need to have. Because I'm not Caucasian. I'm not really even white. I'm American. Notice, if you would, in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, verse number 1, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond," notice this, "beyond their power they were willing of themselves." We could skip on down into verse 5. "And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave of their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." You know what these disciples did? They sacrificed everything in love. Love, first of all, to the Lord that they brought the donkey back to. But then even for that life of that donkey. I know you say, preacher, what does it really matter? God called them to lead him. And they were willing to sacrifice for him. Because that donkey needed to know. That donkey needed that comfort. Remember the coach of compassion this morning, who was it that put them on there? The disciples. Whose coach were they? They were theirs. Isn't it amazing how God lines everything up? And he has someone that's willing to give so that we can continue on to live for the Lord. Amen. Now hold on. There's a problem, isn't there? You see, our society teaches that it's okay to always have your hand out. You know what God teaches? That you learn when someone else is given. And what you do is you learn that you take that and you give. Amen. You see, that's how God does it. That's how God teaches it. Oh, I've got to sacrifice and I've got to give that time and I've got to train them. But what are we to do? Train up men that are apt to teach. Amen. And boy, you're going to focus and you're going to sacrifice and you're going to spend that time. Why? Because they're going to turn around and do the same thing. And they're going to lead another donkey and his mama to the Lord. Yeah. Amen. And so I find the worship of the disciples. It was spontaneous. I said, preacher, how do you know? Jesus sent forth two to go get this colt and his mama. And not a single one of them knew what was going to take place when they got back. They didn't even know when they were going what was going to take place when they got there to the donkeys. May I tell you how spontaneous it is? You know what real worship is? When God just shows up. Yeah, amen. And you see Him in all of His glory. I think of Isaiah, chapter number 6. Isaiah is in the worst time of his life. He sees King Uzziah has died. King Uzziah was a godly man, and he's saying, oh no, what are we going to do? But may I tell you, it wasn't about King Uzziah. It was about God sitting on the throne, high and lifted up. It was about God's Spirit filling the temple. It was about God had showed up. And boy, we finally seen Him. Oh, it's the fact that He's already been there, but our eyes are open. I see these two disciples bringing this colt there, and their mama there, or the mama there, and boy, they throw their blanket up there, or their coat up there. They set Christ up on Him, and they begin to lead. And what do? They just start praising Him. They just start letting others know. Now listen, He was already their Savior, but may I tell you that He was also their King. And what we need to have people understand today, the turmoil that's going on in our society, it's because of the society. Our King is still on the throne, and we can still worship Him because He's still God. He's still the one He said He is. He's still coming back to get us. Amen? And we do know that we are victors in Him, and we can worship Him. I look here and I find that it was just a spontaneous worship. What took place? They just started shouting out. It's amazing. Now, I'm not talking about just going out there and letting others know how spiritual you are by shouting hallelujah. Because there's a whole lot of that that's fake. Amen. But there's nothing wrong with praising the Lord and giving Him the credit for it. Amen. It's all right. If we had something great happen to us, would we not share it? Have we not had something great happen to us? Amen. Is not someone great in our life? We need to worship Him. We need to worship Him. It's amazing. We worship our cars. We worship our houses. We worship our things. Shouldn't we worship the one that gave them to us? And some of those He gave in spite of us. Amen. He didn't give it to us. We just got it. He's blessed us more than we need. And so I find here that He sent forth two. But here's the great thing. He sends forth you for today, right now. There's a donkey out there tied up by the door that's going to need loosed, that's going to need led all the way to the Lord. I don't know what kind of a stubborn animal he's going to be, but God's given us His Word, and that's the way we can go all the way to Him with them. Let's stand. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You. Lord, that these two young men had went out. Lord, all they had was Your Word. Lord, that's all we need today. Father, faith in You, faith in what You've said. Lord, faith in who You are. And Lord, I pray Your will be done. Father, help us tonight. Lord, take the message. Lord, use it to Your glory. And I just ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Music softly plays tonight. God spoke to your heart. He sent forth two. I don't know what two. It really doesn't matter, because it wasn't about the two. It's about the one that sends us. That we can go.
David sang the praise.
That we can still trust.
Of the glory
that still empowers us.
Paul preached that all is lost save knowing Christ. Little John said He is precious by leaning on His bosom. So for a moment may I humbly testify. That I love Him, how I worship and adore Him.
When
I can see no way,
say, Lord,
takes away.
Go wherever You send me.
And did I mention He's been faithful?
I'm thankful
to every promise.
I have a safety that I can fall upon. I asked Him,
if
He spoke to you, are you close enough to hear Him?
How many sermons?
if he spoke to you,
about this Jesus,
are you faithful
I'll
enough to go?
Songs can be sung about God's Son. There are not enough words, enough notes in the music to tell the story of all the Savior has done. Did I mention that I love Him? How I worship and adore song.